Greetings, folks, and a happy Saturday afternoon as I'm recording this to one and all. This is Chris Temple, editor and publisher of the National Investor, and I'm happy that today Steve Hansen, president and CEO of International Frontier Resources, has been able to catch up with me. We tried to get together earlier in the week, but we're both busy, and now we've got a little bit of time to catch up. Steve, thanks for taking a few minutes today.
Yeah, pleasure to be with you today, Chris. Thanks for the call today.
Well, you know, one of the stories that I've been more animated on than most for almost a year and a half now, or actually it's been just over a year and a half since I recommended International Frontier Resources to my members, is that this is an energy story that to this day gets relatively little attention, even in the financial press. When it comes to energy, we hear all about increasing U.S. exports. Although a part of that story I should throw in here, Steve, what if I didn't, is we export a lot of energy to Mexico right now, which is why they're privatizing their sector. We hear about Iran, we hear about Venezuela, but what we still don't hear very much about, and we're going to talk about today, is that Mexico started the process not that long ago of, for the first time in 8 decades, privatizing their energy sector as they did a while back with their mining sector. It's something that was a crying need. And Steve, speak to that need for a minute of exactly the situation Mexico has been in.
Sure. Well, thanks, Chris. You know, we believe that the Mexican energy reform is one of the greatest energy opportunities in the world today. And, you know, in spite of the fact that it's been a fairly soft energy sector over the last few years, Mexico is a very interesting example of an environment where assets that really have been left undeveloped, onshore and offshore, have made available for the first time for local companies and foreign companies to participate in. As you mentioned, Mexico has been run by one state oil company, Pemex, again, a national state government run company has run the energy sector in Mexico for over 80 years. And the president of Mexico, almost 5 years ago, through constitutional reforms, decided that Mexico was in need of new technology, enhanced recovery techniques, new investment. It needed to attract global energy companies and service contractors to come in country and help develop the resource base. Production has been declining in Mexico steadily year over year. Reserves have been declining. And of course, the need has been increasing. Mexico, as part of North America, has been a growing nation and heavy in industry and manufacturing, and continues to need a domestic supply. And as you mentioned, continues to get a lot of gas. A massive amount of their gas has been coming from the U.S. So there's a very strong energy relationship between Mexico and the U.S. Crude goes from Mexico to the U.S. refineries, and obviously gas, to a great extent, comes across into Mexico for Mexico's needs. So again, there's a huge energy opportunity in Mexico for strong, solid, experienced American, Canadian, and foreign companies to go into Mexico and to work on assets that exist. And Pemex has not had capital. They've not had the resources to develop fields throughout the onshore region. And this is really where we've taken the opportunity as a first mover. We were some of the first foreigners to go into Mexico a few years ago and investigate the opportunity. And in fact, are one of the first companies to be awarded an oil and gas field in Mexico in their first bid round.
Now, Steve, you, when you came into Mexico, you were able to join forces with Grupo Edesa, which is a big energy and industrial conglomerate in that country, one of the biggest, in fact. Tell us a little bit about that and about the team you put together quickly.
We thought it was important to partner with a local company and to align not just in services, but align in equity with a company that had experience operationally in country, that understood regulatory in environment, that had a history of success in building out businesses. And so early on, we met with many Mexican companies and had the good fortune of meeting with Grupo Edesa. They're a leader in the petrochemical business. They've recently completed the largest petrochemical plant in the Americas. Again, been around for 60 years, are a great partner to have. We work out of their offices and utilize their resources in Mexico. They've been our partner since August of 2015. So, you know, as a foreign company going in there, we're in very, very good shape in having, again, a local partner who can provide us guidance and leadership as we build out this business.
Well, and on top of that alliance, and I should point out that the company that you each own 50% of that's domiciled in Mexico is Tonali Energy, correct?
That's right. Tonali Energia is our co-owned operating company. Again, IFR and EDESA co-own this company, and all of our operations in Mexico are run through that business. You know, we've had the good fortune of attracting some very high caliber executives to our team and our board as a result of our new Mexican business. We've got the former CFO and director of Pemex on our board. Colin Mills, who was the director general of TransAlta, had built two power plants in Mexico. We've got a great CEO who has built energy companies in Latin America before. All of our technical team has had experience working in foreign countries in the Middle East, in Africa, in Asia, and Latin America. So we've got a broad team that has had success in new ventures and in working in foreign countries. And again, we hope to become an energy leader in Mexico as a result of this excellent foundation that we built.
Well, one thing I want to point out quickly too, folks, before we get to the actual operations and the International Frontier being on the cusp of its first production and revenues now, is that you have received support and even financial backing from Export Development Canada, because the Canadian government, of course, wants to have an overt role in helping out Mexico. So that's a neat thing. And also, even in Mexico itself, you've been highlighted personally, Steve, haven't you, as one of the new up-and-coming leaders of the privatized energy industry.
You know, as an early company into the energy reform, you know, we've certainly been recognized as a team and a company that can execute. We have been backed by the EDC, which is the government of Canada, who has become a financial partner of ours. They have put up a performance bond with the Mexican government as part of our license contract. Again, we're very proud of that financial relationship that we have. We are the first upstream financial relationship that the EDC has contracted in Mexico. We also, you know, have a very good name and brand in country. We work very closely with the Department of Energy, the Department of Hydrocarbons, with social programs, with universities. You know, we've been on many panels educating, in fact, other industry about our experience as we've gone through the regulatory environment, the signing of our license contract, the handover from Pemex, and ultimately leading to operations. So we are a first mover. We believe we are an early leader in this sector, and will continue to be as we grow our business.
And speaking of growing your business, after what seemed like a monotonous period of time when the government, which is really in many ways inventing the wheel as it goes along because it hasn't dealt with this before, but you finally got the permits all in place and jumped through the requisite hoops, and you now have started drilling your first well at the Big Tecolutla project that you have. Tell us a bit about that and the timeline that you're envisioning as of now for how that's going and should go toward taking you to your first oil production.
Well, you're right, Chris. You know, a lot of work has gone into leading up to this moment. We were one of the first foreign companies through joint venture to be awarded a field in Mexico in almost 80 years. And then we are one of the first foreign companies through our joint venture to be awarded a drilling license in Mexico as part of this energy reform process. And then we announced, obviously, that we're spudding our first well here on the Tecolutla block, which is in the state of Veracruz. And again, we're one of the first companies to actually drill onshore in almost 80 years as an independent company. So we're very proud of that fact. We spudded our well a couple weeks ago. This is a vertical directional well into an existing oil pool, a formation that has very good structure. The pressure is as good in this field as it was in the 70s. It was drilled back between 1956 and 1972, this particular field. And really, it's like what Americans and Canadians have done throughout Texas and the southern states and the Western Sedimentary Basin in Alberta is many companies have gone into to older fields, have used new technology, enhanced recovery techniques, horizontal drilling, and have over the last couple of decades been able to have success in the field. And so this is what we're doing in Mexico. We're going into an older field that has an existing pool, and we're using current technology, engineering, and enhanced recovery techniques to extrapolate the existing crude. So this is an exploration. This is a development opportunity. We are almost at total depth on our first well, which is very exciting. And again, we expect to be completing this well here shortly, and then begin production testing here over the next few weeks. And we're hopeful, crossing our fingers, that we'll be able to announce our first barrel of oil here sometime towards the end of May.
And what's nice, I should point out, folks, real quick, is that one of the advantages of having a partner like Grupo Odessa is that guess who has refinery capacity very nearby? So it's not as if Tonali, the company that's owned both by International Frontier and Grupo, is going to have any trouble easily getting its oil to market. Real quick, Steve, as we wrap up, it's great stuff as far as the first oil production and first revenue now being very near in sight if all continues to go well. What all is ahead, though, for the rest of the year? Because I know there are more bid rounds and other opportunities coming for you to tie up even more assets in the country.
Sure. Well, obviously, leading to a production decision here towards the end of May, we'll build out facilities, and then we are contracted actually to sell our crude through to Pemex. They have facilities nearby, measurement and infrastructure, pipeline, and ultimately refineries. So again, that'll be a very good relationship that we form with Pemex, and again, we get a very good price, a combination of WTI and Brent for our crude. But really the big opportunity for us this year over and above getting into production, which is a great milestone, is leading up to the next onshore bid round. This is the largest onshore auction to ever take place in Mexico. The data room has already opened, and we're evaluating those fields right now. And again, we'll prioritize those fields, ultimately make some decisions on which ones we're going to bid on, and that auction will take place in the third week of July. And then coming up in September is the very first unconventional round. Again, our team will evaluate those assets, those blocks and fields, and ultimately we'll make a decision on whether we're going to bid in that bid round in September. And then most recently, Pemex announced a cluster and series of fields of farm outs that are available where you can partner with the state oil company on many fields. And so those are further opportunities that we will evaluate and ultimately determine if we are going to bid, and that will take place sometime mid to late fall. So, again, many opportunities for us to continue to expand our footprint from Tecalula. Again, our goal here is to be an energy leader in Mexico. You know, we've completed some major milestones so far to date, and we hopefully will continue to do that throughout 2018. It's going to be a very exciting year for us, and the outlook looks certainly favorable.
Awesome. And folks, I can't underscore enough the unique nature of this particular country play. It's something that I thought was a compelling story before we even saw this more sustained rise in the price of crude oil itself than I frankly suspected, which only makes this better. You've got a growing middle class in Mexico. You've got a government and even all the presidential candidates running right now. They all want to do something for the middle class. They all want to make Mexico a stronger, more independent country. You can't do that when your own domestic production, despite having all kinds of resource potential, has been declining for all this time. So while on one hand it's nice that a couple other companies I have recommended in my newsletter are profiting from exporting energy to Mexico, we've now started a transition. It's going to help companies like International Frontier Resources out as finally Mexico is able to come, you know, get up to speed with its own industry and with supplying its own needs domestically, which it is certainly capable of. Steve, any quick last thoughts?
No, I thanks for the time, Chris. And again, I think in this commodity environment and pricing, we're very excited about the opportunity. Our operating costs are low. Mexico is the lowest quartile in the world of finding and developing costs. Pricing is very good, access to market. And again, I think in this commodity environment, investors should start taking a look at energy microcaps and small caps again.
Awesome. Very compelling story, folks. International Frontier Resources on the Toronto Exchange. The symbol is IFR. They're also listed on the over-the-counter QB market in America under IFRTF. Steve Hansen, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.